On this week's episode of What the Puck, Chimmer gets a new deal, the Capitals went wild in the West and lost both of their games, and Mike Green sits out of practice. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to What the Puck. This is a Washington Capitals podcast. Make sure you download the show completely for free on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. The Capitals, they've come away this past week with a few wins, a few losses. This team, to me, I don't know about you, it kind of feels like they kind of have a little Jekyll and Hyde thing going right now. The games were kind of crazy to watch. Some of them started off pretty boring, got really exciting during the second and third periods. But this team, we talked about this before. We were happy last week, but it seems to me they're still trying to figure out their identity. The game that happened, just last night after we recorded this, maybe they were just tired from going out west, going to Phoenix and going to Colorado, but they came back, went up against Columbus, and they were playing a little sluggish. How do you think they're doing in this past week?
Well, I mean, since we last talked, they went 2-1-1 with wins over Minnesota and Columbus, and they had that regulation loss to Colorado where that was 4-1. That wasn't too great on Sunday. Apparently they were up on, I didn't catch the game, but they were up on Phoenix and ended up losing in a shootout, so that's not really great to see. I think they're still kind of going along. They're still having the same similar problems of I don't know, somewhat staying focused and being able to do what they need to do to play all 60 minutes. And, they're going to have to start doing that soon, but this is a team that's it's gone to a little bit of a slow start. They start slow in every game. I mean, the last couple of games, the first period, it's always, at the end of the first period, I always seem to tweet out, anybody else find themselves really bored during that period? Like, they're just not interesting to watch. And then the second period, they kind of turn it on. Third period, they play pretty well. So, they're doing okay. I mean, you go out west and you lose both of those games, and you get a point in Phoenix. That's not terrible. We'll get 1 point out of a possible four. Not great, but not the end of the world. And then you get wins over Minnesota and Columbus. They had no business winning that game, but they were able to pull it out. So that was nice. We had some good play. I love that pass from Marty Erat to John Carlson to score their first goal the other night. That was a great play. And then Johansson actually with a nice move to the net that ended up resulting in the game-winning goal by Ovechkin in overtime. So I think there's definitely the talent there, but they got to start putting it together. And that comes back, I think, on head coach Adam Oates. He's got to get these guys focused and ready to play at the drop of the puck at the very beginning of the game. If they don't start doing that, they're going to have a lot of problems when they're making a run to the playoffs at the end of the season. I mean, right now, what are they, a point behind the Penguins, I think, as we're talking? The Penguins have a game in hand, so, it could potentially be 3 points. But they're right up there in the playoff race, and they're doing pretty well. But they got to keep going because, the other teams are going to start waking up, and players are going to come back from injuries. And if they start dropping points consistently, then they're going to have a problem.
Yeah, the big thing I want to see from this team is I want them to play a full game. I mean, the Phoenix game was a huge reminder of what this team really is lacking, and it's the fact that they just can't play a full 60 minutes. I mean, the Coyotes were able to get two goals in the span of, I think, like 90 seconds, and it was a dumb penalty from Nate Schmidt, a delay of game penalty that kind of opened up for that second goal to tie up the game and make it, 3-3, and then to come out without a win. Really sucks. I mean, the Phoenix game, I was so impressed with the Capitals until like the last 2 minutes when they kind of lost it and there were two goals scored on them. There was no defense there. I think this team really they still need to kind of nail down who they are, I guess. And even though we're complaining, but they are doing pretty well. It just to me it seems like these guys aren't ready to play a full 60 minutes. And down the road, that's really going to bite you in the butt because every other team that's going to be out there in the playoffs and everything, they're going to be playing a full 60 minutes and be ready to play even more. I mean, look at the Blackhawks and the Bruins from the last Stanley Cup Finals where they played two full games in game one because they went to three overtimes. So you can't give up. You can't get tired. You got to keep going and going and going. And I think that's what this team really needs to do is they need to focus and they need to stay on that. If you like you're saying, it could be the coaching staff. It definitely could be, but these guys got to figure that out as well. let's talk about this a little bit. How crazy is it right now that the top goal scorers and the guys who are really making the plays are the guys like on the third line? It's not the first or second line really making a lot of moves. It's guys that you're not expecting to be the guys that are making a lot of doing a lot of the heavy lifting here. Marcus Johansson was doing really good. John Carlson's looking really great. Joel Ward is looking really great. And it's guys that like Joel Ward, I believe Adam Vingan tweeted out last night. He's a guy who is about to tie his goals he had, I think, for the entire last season. And here we are still in November, not even that many games into this season. He's about to tie his goal total for last year. So crazy to think that a lot of guys that you're not expecting to be the guys making the headlines are making the headlines right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been known in the past for bringing the hate on Joel Ward, although I've never actually hated him as a player. I just always hated his salary cap hit because it's $3 million, I think, is too much, but I think he's actually been doing incredibly well lately. I think, what is he? At the moment, he's tied with Jason Chimera for fifth on the team in scoring, both at 13 points. But Ward's got 9 goals and 4 assists, although he is a minus one, which isn't great to see. Chimera's got 5 goals and 8 assists, and is a plus one, so that's nice to see. They both actually have 12 penalty minutes, oddly enough. Ward's got 3 power play points, which I think is great. I think a lot of, I still don't understand necessarily why he's on the power play, but I guess he's still there. I think some of their great play between Chimera and Ward has to go to Grabowski. Having a guy like that on their line, I think, certainly helps. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, sort of, not somewhat switch gears here. When Grabowski's ready to start playing more minutes and potentially jump back up onto the second line, it'll be interesting to see what Oates decides to do with them. I believe it was Alan May who mentioned during last night's game against Columbus that Erat and Grabowski would look really good together. You can see some not familiarity, but some chemistry there. You sort of wonder who you'd put on the right wing with those guys. Would you put Troy Brower? I'd suggest even Eric Fair as a possibility. I think that would be a nice line to have. You know, whoever it is, is there, just park yourself in front of the net and wait for the rebound, because those two guys are going to find a way to get the puck there. So I think, Grabowski's doing great, and he's definitely helping Chimera and Ward out right now, and we'll see what happens going forward with those two.
Yeah, absolutely. Big question mark right now, though. News coming out today. A lot of defensive news right now. Who didn't see this coming? But it seems as if Mike Green may actually be injured once again. The guy can't get through a whole season without getting
injured.
That
is just crazy.
But here we are, November. It looks like Mike Green has a lower body injury. He hasn't really played up to his full Mike Greenness this season. He hasn't been able to get a goal yet this season. But what do you think this injury could be for him?
Mike Greenness? I don't know why I found that so funny. But it's not one thing, it's another with Green. And it could be just a minor thing. He may have just stubbed his toe. And they said he's out for day to day with a lower body injury, and they're not sure if he'll be ready to go Friday against Detroit. They're going to reevaluate him tomorrow, and then they'll see what goes there. But actually, I kind of like the pairing of him and Schilling together. I think it's done pretty nice. I was thinking about this during the Columbus game that, Green's never really had a set partner. He's had guys for a little while, and then they move on. At one point he was with Jeff Schultz, and that, seemed to be working out pretty well for a while, and then everyone found out that Jeff Schultz sucks. He's got Schilling now. He was with Alzner at one point. We thought last season, the beginning of the season, that was working out. And then, it just wasn't at the beginning of the season, especially. So Green's been sort of bumped around. It'd be nice to find him a steady defensive partner to work with, someone to develop a lot of chemistry with, so that he can actually settle down and start to play the way that Mike Green should be playing. Because even though he's doing pretty well stat-wise, right now Green's got, he's got 11 assists, but he's a minus 6. That is completely unacceptable for a guy making his kind of money and getting the minutes that he's getting every night. So I think, Green's got to start stepping it up defensively, and it'd be nice to see him put a couple of pucks in the net.
Yeah, absolutely. When Mike Green is at his best, Mike Green is a huge addition, one of the best guys on this team. I don't really know what's going on right now, why he isn't playing to his full potential there. But this injury, who knows what the Capitals are going to do now. They're definitely in need for some defensive players because, Holtby and Nuvi have kind of been left out to dry throughout a lot of games with their defense. I think that's one of the big reasons why Phoenix was able to get those two goals over the weekend in the last 2 minutes because the defense just wasn't there to help Holtby out and help, or in other games, help Nuvi out. what happens after this? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with Mike Green. Who they might recall from Hershey? They just sent Dmitry Orlov back to Hershey, and they're just kind of saying they're happy with the guys they have. But they also have John Erskine on injury reserve. You know, the defense is a huge question mark right now, and who's going to be with whom?
Yeah, I mean, interesting to see. Right, I mean. I never understood why they had Orlov up here. They kept calling him up and down, and they're not even playing the dude. It's just like they're just kind of messing with him. But I think if Green's out, then watch, they're going to recall Orlov tomorrow. And at some point, the guy's just going to be like, you know what? Just make up your freaking mind. Either keep me up or send me down. They could recall Connor Carrick. I don't know. But they're going to have to recall somebody if they want to keep playing, because it looks like at the moment they don't have anybody else on the roster that'd be able to step in to fill in for Green. I don't think anybody on the roster that can fill in for Green skill-wise. But, you know, I think if you want to go sort of style for style to some extent, then you definitely recall Orlov and finally give him some minutes and see what he can do in the NHL this season.
Yeah, I was on Twitter today and people were talking about Mike Green, but Adam Vingan brought up a good point because somebody said, why would if Green's hurt, why would you even put Orlov back in Hershey? And Adam Vingan brought up the fact that Adam Oates is such a stickler for if somebody's right-handed or left-handed, and apparently
he really is.
Yeah, he definitely is. I think Mike Green is right-handed and Orlov is left-handed. So Orlov might not be the answer for Mike Green just because of Adam Oates being such a stickler for if you're left-handed or right-handed. So we might have to get into like the nitty-gritty here and go look at Hershey stats and be like, all right, who's left-handed, who's right-handed? Because it might come down to just who can handle the stick better.
You're right. Green, I was just looking up so you can hear my super typing over here. Green is a righty and Orlov is a lefty. Uh-oh, dun-dun-dun. I don't know what Oates is going to do. Oates is, yeah, he loves having a guy with a lefty with a righty kind of a thing. But, you know, he could end up, I have to look it up again. But, you know, you could end up recalling Carrick. But I think Orlov has earned his chance. I think he's doing great in Hershey. I think they sent him down tonight also because Hershey is actually playing, I believe, at the moment. So they may have sent him down so he could get a game. It's not like they're sending him far. You know, they're sending him to Hershey. Like, all right, go sit in a car for 2 hours, drive up to Hershey, play a game. Maybe they'll recall him in the morning or after the game, be like, hey, Dmitry, why don't you come on back? You know, so he may be back in D.C. tomorrow. And he could be playing. Maybe they move a couple of things around. Maybe Oates will have to sort of bite his tongue on this one and end up playing two lefties together if he feels like that's going to be the best lineup going forward.
Yeah, so we'll see what Adam Oates wants to do. Let's talk a little bit about Jason Chimera. He got a new contract. We're going to see him in D.C. for another 2 years. Is this a good move by the Capitals, in your opinion?
I think it was sort of an interesting one that they decided to make. I feel like at the how old is Chimera? I mean, he's got to be getting up there in years. No offense. You know, he's a bald guy, so he makes him kind of look a little older. But he's what? He's 34 right now, so he'll be 30. That was kind of a cheap shot. he'll be 36 at the end of this deal, or May 2nd, so he'll be 37, I guess, technically, at the end of his deal. You know, I feel like he's one of those guys. You can give him $2 million. He better keep contributing at what he's doing right now, because if he drops off at all, then that becomes a salary cap problem, even if it is only $2 million, depending, of course, on where the ceiling ends up being in the future. You know, it's one of those things where you wonder, you know, could you have let him go and replaced him with someone who's younger and potentially cheaper that could do the same things? Now, Chimera's having a good season. Like I mentioned before, he's got 13 points, 5 goals, 8 assists so far through 19 games. So he's done well, but if he doesn't, you know, if he has a season like last year where he wasn't doing very well, at least offensively, then I think it's a problem. Then I think you've overspent again on a guy that, you know, you're going to have to end up being not an albatross, but he's going to end up being sort of a problem salary cap wise for you.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jason Chimera. I like his work. I like just the fact that he's so good with the fans and everything like that. On the ice, I'm a big fan of him. But the only thing that worries me is, yeah, he is a third line guy. He is super talented and everything. But if you remember last season after the lockout, he had a really hard time. He was one of the last people in the NHL to actually score a goal. You know, forward wise at least. It took him a very long time to get light the lamp. But this season, it's a completely different story. This season, he's looked great. Being paired up with Ward and Grabo, both those guys have really worked with him well, and everything has turned out good things for him. So I'm happy that he's in D.C. as long as he can stay the way he is right now. I think this line is the best line that they have right now. So having him there and having him there for another 2 years, I think, is a great thing. Whether or not Grabowski stays after this year, it still remains to be seen. But for right now, at least this season, whatever they're doing is working.
Yeah, I mean, Grabowski, I think, was a great pickup. And some of it depends on what they end up doing with super prospect Evgeny Kuznetsov and where they want to play him, which is another reason why I was sort of surprised by the Chimarin deal. Because you got to see, well, Kuznetsov cap it. With bonuses, you know, it could come out being pretty high. You never really know where he's going to end up. But they're going to have to find a way to make some cap space up, because you got to think this guy's going to be here at the end of the season or at the latest next season. I don't think he'll be playing in Hershey. So to have, you know, you potentially have Kuznetsov playing with Grabowski and, I don't know, Brower or somebody next season, I think would be a great second line to have. You know, so they've got some interesting moves to make to see what they want to do. But I with the way Grabowski's been playing, I mean, you look at that. What was it, the goal against Columbus? I don't think, you know, Grabowski was brought in to replace essentially Mike Ribeiro. I don't think Ribeiro takes that shot. I think he finds a way to make a pass to somebody else, and maybe that works out in a goal. But I think Grabowski, you know, I think with this team and what they need, as great as Mike Ribeiro is, I really like, and I think Grabowski is a better fit right now because he's also going to shoot the puck. The one thing I had against Ribeiro is that he didn't shoot the puck enough when he had opportunities, and Grabowski does that.
Yeah, he absolutely does. I'm a huge Grabowski fan. I like him a lot. Glad he's a Capital. I would like him to stay here, but again, who knows what the future will hold here. So, anything else we got to talk about in the Caps world?
No, you did. Second week in a row, man. You covered all my stuff. Covered all my notes.
All right, good stuff, man. Well, we're going to head up 83, but first we're going to take a pit stop in Baltimore. Here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, we're up 83. We're going to talk some Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. Coach Dan, what's going on with the Hershey Bears?
Well, checking in with Hershey, they've gone 1-0-1 with a shootout win over the Bridgeport Sound Tigers and a shootout loss to the Binghamton Senators. Reading, on the other hand, went 2-0 with back-to-back wins over the Wheeling Nailers. Last little bit of note, the 2009 fourth-round pick Patrick Way was called up to Hershey on Monday after Tomas Kondratik went down with an injury. So hopefully Kondratik is okay. If he wasn't injured, he would be a name that could potentially be a guy to be recalled to replace Mike Green for a short term. It's interesting to see Way. I think he's got some potential as a defenseman, and I'd really like to see what he can do in Hershey. I believe with Reading this season, I believe his first real season in the big leagues. Well, minor big leagues, I guess. He's got 0 goals, 3 assists, so it's not bad, not terrible, but you know, you can see a little more from him. But I'd like to see what he can do in Hershey and see if there is some potential really there with this kid.
Yeah, absolutely. Quick question, though. What the hell is a Sound Tiger?
It's a tiger who makes – I don't know. I didn't come up with the stupid name. You look around some of these names in the AHL and the ECHL, and you're just going, who – like, what wall were you throwing darts at that you came up with that idea?
I've never heard of a Sound Tiger. It kind of
Bridgeport Sound Tiger.
It kind of sounds like a free audio software you would be kind of sketchy about buying online, you know, for $10 or whatever. But
it kind of does.
All right, well, if that's it going on in Hershey and Reading, why don't we just go around the NHL? All right, plenty of stuff to talk about going on around the NHL. We've got injuries. I'm sure somebody's got a concussion. I'm sure somebody is being suspended for that concussion. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, actually, there's two big stories over the past 2 days. First, let's start with Steven Stamkos. He is likely out 3 to 6 months after breaking his tibia during a day game against Boston on Monday. Successful surgery was performed in Boston on Tuesday, but it's likely that Stamkos will be out for a long time, and that he may end up missing the Olympics during the winter. And the other big news story actually came out today, that Buffalo has fired both longtime general manager Darcy Rieger and year-and-a-half head coach Ron Rolston. Now, the team replaced Rolston temporarily with Ted Nolan, and hired former star player, Pat LaFontaine as the new president of hockey operations. No word on who the new general manager will be, but Darcy Rieger, longtime GM, is out in Buffalo. Florida also decided to make a coaching change late last week, firing Kevin Dineen and assistant coaches Gordon Murphy and Craig Ramsey. Wasn't he the bald Professor Xavier-looking gentleman who coached the Atlanta Thrashers at one point? Or am I confusing him with somebody else? I don't know. Some dude used to coach the Thrashers look like Professor Xavier. Anyways, Peter Horacek, who is coaching their AHL affiliate in San Antonio, was named interim head coach. Brian Skrudland and former NHLer John Madden were named assistant coaches. Longtime Colorado Avalanche Milan Hajduk has reportedly told a newspaper in the Czech Republic that he is going to retire. The 37-year-old played all 14 seasons in the NHL with the Avalanche. He finishes with 375 goals and 805 points in 1,020 games. Edmonton dealt defenseman Ladislav Samid to Calgary for two prospects. I thought this was a very interesting deal that Edmonton and Calgary would make a trade between one another, considering that they are huge rivals. But then I found out in the end that Edmonton made this deal to free up enough salary cap space to sign crazy goalie Ilya Brizgalov to a one-year deal. So it looks like Brizgalov will be back in the NHL in the very near future. That should be scary for everyone. Chicago extended forward Andrew Shaw to a two-year extension. CapGeek.com has a deal at $2 million per year. Anaheim signed your buddy, center David Steckel, to a one-year two-way deal. Guess Boudreaux wants to get the band back together. First, he got Matty P, and now Steckel. And finally, Gary Bettman was interviewed the other day and said he would rather see the World Cup of Hockey return than the NHL players participate in the Olympics. Their World Cup games were last played in 2004. Bettman also said that the league has no interest in expanding or relocating franchises at this time. That is all of the interesting NHL news from the past week.
Do you believe Bettman when he's talking about you know?
I don't believe that douche when he says anything.
I'm interested their idea of a World Cup for hockey. I would be very interested to see that. But at the same time, I don't want these guys to not play in the Olympics as well. I would like to have both as a hockey fan, but I don't know. What is your take on Olympic or World Cup?
Okay, so here's what I want to see. And I don't know if this is going to be possible. But in European soccer, they have the Champions League, where the top teams in each of the various leagues all play one another throughout the season to win the Champions League. So I would like – I don't know, it's never going to happen, but I would like to see something between the NHL, the KHL, the leagues in Sweden, Norway, Finland, Czech Republic, just Austria, Switzerland, all the various places that have relatively big hockey leagues. I like to see the top teams. You'd have whoever wins the Stanley Cup, and then maybe point-wise the next two or three teams, and then all the other top four teams or something like that in those leagues all play each other in a tournament to see which league really has the best team.
I would dig that, man. That would be pretty cool.
Champions League of Hockey.
Now here's
never going to happen because Bettman would never allow his teams to be the players to be playing extra games, because these are a lot of extra games, or to be playing. I mean, after the season, do you really want your team after they won the cup to then go and play even more and then have to play another season soon? I mean, but that would be a really cool thing to see, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even like them going to Worlds once they get knocked out of the Stanley Cup playoff. So, I mean, I would highly doubt that would happen. But just think about this for a second, okay? Last season, who won the KHL's cup? It was Dynamo Moscow. So let's say the Capitals are knocked out of the Stanley Cup finals. The Blackhawks win. Could Ovechkin then go play for Dynamo in this tournament that you were kind of thinking about? That would be interesting.
Well, no, it has to be – okay, so the way that works, at least in Europe with the league, the players have to be on your roster, and if they've played in the tournament before for another team, then they wouldn't be allowed to participate if they were to sign with another team. So I think the idea is that, if you know, Ovechkin's got a contract with the Capitals, so he wouldn't be able to go and join Dynamo Moscow. Like, right. It would be that roster you have.
Right.
So okay. Let's say the Caps – like, if the – well, it doesn't matter. This is all, like, hypothetical. Right. I just think it would be a cool thing. I just want to see, because of all the crap that we get from the KHL guys, oh, we're going to be a better league in the NHL and all that nonsense coming out of Russia, just to see the top team in the NHL go over and just smack their dudes around.
That would be very interesting to see.
That's just how I feel.
Yeah. Real quick about Steven Stamkos. What do you think this does to Team Canada if he can't play in the Olympics?
I know a lot of people are saying that he's the second best player that would be the second best player after Crosby for them, and I think that's definitely – it's going to open the spot for somebody else It's sort of hard to say who because there's just so many Canadians that are ridiculously talented that play on that roster. I think we'll, as we get closer to the Olympics and you and I will start talking about the various rosters we may see for the U.S., Canada, Russia, whoever, it certainly opens the door for somebody who may have been, you know, a fringe player to make that jump onto the team. And it makes it, you know, a chance for somebody who may have been a third line player to jump up onto that second or maybe even first line filling in for Stamkos to get a lot more minutes and maybe make a name for himself.
I'm interested to see what happens. I'd like to see, you know, the Olympics, I mean, they're still a pretty good ways away and no teams are set. But it's interesting that that an injury like that is now affecting the Olympic team because they kind of go have to go back to the drawing board if he's not playing. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, let's get back to our normal show. And here's what to look for until we talk again this Friday, November 15th. The Capitals are in the Motor City in Detroit. They're up against the Red Wings. This game is at 7:30. It is a national televised game on the NHL Network. Will be brought locally here in Baltimore, D.C., Virginia on Comcast Sportsnet. On Sunday, November 17th, the Capitals are back home in the phone booth, and they are up against the St. Louis Blues. That game is at 6 o'clock, and it's at Comcast Sportsnet. So it's perfect, you Baltimore fans out there. We've got the Ravens and the Bears at 1 o'clock, the Capitals and the Blues at 6 o'clock. Perfect, perfect sports day for you. Now, we will be recording the show a day early because next Wednesday, November 20th, it's a big NBC rivalry night. It is the Penguins against the Capitals. Comcast is Sportsnet will not be covering the game. It will be the NBC Sports Network. That game is at 8 o'clock. And remember, we talked about this. I can't say this enough. Check out the NHL Rivals show. It airs the night before Wednesday Night Rivalry, so that would be Tuesday night for those keeping track at home. And since this is going to be Capitals-Penguins, they will be doing a half-hour documentary-style special about the Capitals-Penguins rivalry. If it's anything like the Rangers-Capitals show that was on the beginning of this season, this is going to be such a fun show to watch, especially as a Capitals fan. So check that out on NBC Sports. It's going to be NHL Rivals on Tuesday night. That's pretty much it for What the Puck. So let's make sure you're going to be social with us. Let us know if we suck, if we're any good. Tweet to us. You can tweet to me on Twitter, of course, at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is Cap's fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. I don't know if you actually hear my typing in the background a little bit. I'm putting the final touches on an article about Eric Fair and Jay Beagle and why they are sort of in Oates' doghouse and not playing the last couple of games. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the network over there. That's where you get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. The show is also on Twitter. On Twitter and Facebook itself. So you can go to @WTP_podcast on Twitter. Follow the show there. Also on Facebook, it's Facebook.com/WTP podcast. Two P's in that title. There's plenty of ways to listen to the show. Make sure you let people know. Doesn't matter what device they have, whether they're on an iPhone, an Apple product, an Android device, or on a desktop. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and What the Puck, caps.brandocash.com. So it doesn't matter where you are, where you live, anything, all of our shows are available to you completely for free. Now, the best way you can help us out, we're not asking you for money, we just are asking for your help to help spread the word about What the Puck. So be social and let people know. Let people know on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Vine, on Instagram, on Reddit, that you're a Caps fan and that they should be listening to What the Puck as well. Leave us an iTunes review, let us know how we're doing, and it also helps us kind of gain notoriety in the iTunes world. And whenever you type in Washington Capitals, we would like to be found in the iTunes library. So leaving us a review will help us do that. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Let's go Caps!
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
That's pretty much it for the show. Coach Dan, what are we going to do? We're trying to think of a new sign-off. What do we end the show with?
We're asking everybody now. That's what we're doing.
Give us a sign-off, please.
Dude, I got nothing. All right. You put me on the spot.
All right. Well, until next week, hey, just go over.
I was thinking, why not? Before he's like, we'll talk to you next week and let's go Caps.
All right. Yeah, let's try
that. Like, that's the way you could just sort of like end it. What do you think?
All right. That sounds good.
Yes. Think that'll work?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So that's pretty much it for What the Puck. Until then, no, that's not good.